right, in John chapter 19, let me read our text one more time. Jesus hanging from the cross. Here he is. And he spoke seven times. And so now we're dealing with this one time that he spoke to his and of his mother. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, as I said, most believe this is the Apostle John, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Now that's the first point of this message. Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he, that's not the end of that saying, but then the second part of that saying, he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And that's the second point of this message. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home, took her to take care of her. I've entitled this message, The Word of Fellowship and Love. And you know, when I was preparing these messages, I'm going to do the seven sayings from the cross. This is one of them. When I was preparing this message, I had no thought of saying, well, I'm going to preach that on Mother's Day. And I'm sure a lot of preachers, when they go to preach what they call their Mother's Day messages, they might go to a portion like this, when Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, speaking to his mother Mary, and he says, woman. Now notice he didn't say mother. And this is not out of any disrespect or any bad thoughts towards you. But he says, woman, behold thy son. And he says to John, or whoever the disciple was, I believe it was John, behold thy mother. So this just happened to fall. You know, the Bible says that it's not luck. It's not coincidence. The Lord would have me preach this message. But I'm really not so much going to talk about motherhood as I am going to talk about the fellowship of God's people and the love of God's people that we have for one another. So this is the word of fellowship and love. And so let me begin the first point. Christ said to Mary, woman, behold thy son. And then he said to John, behold thy mother. Now, one of the things that we never want to do is to ignore or denigrate or not or fail to appreciate the blessedness of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. What a special woman. And what the scripture tells us about her. But another thing we don't want to do is we don't want to raise Mary above that which she was and is, a sinner saved by the grace of God. We don't want to idolize her. We don't want to make her an icon or a mediator. The Catholic Church does this, but that's a false church. The Catholic Church calls Mary the Mother of God. Think about that. Now that's utter blasphemy. God has no mother. Yes, Christ is God. But God has no mother. God has no beginning and no ending. God is eternal. She is not the Mother of God. And when we speak of God, we're talking about all three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Godhead has no mother. And the Catholic Church makes too much of her, claiming that she's the Queen of Heaven. There's no Queen of Heaven. She is not the Queen of Heaven. That's blasphemy. That's idolatry. They make Mary a mediator between God and sinners. She is not a mediator. The Bible says there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Mary was the human virgin mother of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Look back at Luke chapter 1. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Well, Mary was the human instrument, the human vessel the human mother of the sinless humanity of Christ. He was conceived in Mary's womb when she was a virgin, had not known a man. Miraculous conception. That is an immaculate conception. Mary herself is not the immaculate conception. She's still a sinner saved by grace. But God didn't look down and say, well, I want the woman who's most qualified. No, he just chose Mary out of his sovereign will. Mary was truly highly favored of God and blessed among women. Look at Luke 1:26. Listen to this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. She wasn't even married yet. Of the house of David. That's where it comes from. Both Joseph and Mary were of the tribe of Judah. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. Now he's not saying Hail Mary as if he's worshiping Mary. You know, people talk about the Ave Maria. That's Hail Mary, like worshiping her. It's like saying that God has a message here. That's like saying hello in essence. Thou art highly favored, graciously accepted. Much graced is what that means. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The Catholic Church makes Mary a dispenser of blessings. She is not a dispenser of blessings. God's people are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mary is a receiver of blessings. That's what she's doing. She doesn't dispense them. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. That means for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Mary was blessed. Mary was not a sinless person. The Catholic Church wants you to think that she herself was sinless. She was not. Mary was a sinner saved by grace, washed in the blood of Christ, robed in the righteousness of Christ. And that was her beauty. She didn't even remain a virgin. Look at John chapter 7. The Catholic Church says that she remained a virgin throughout her life. No, she didn't. Over here in John chapter 7, listen to this. It says, let me find it here. Here, Christ was walking in Galilee, the Feast of Tabernacles, and he was preaching. And it makes note that there were many who did not believe in him. And look at verse 5 of John 7. It says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. His brethren. Who's his brethren? Well, now, we're going to see this in just a moment. Christ identifies his spiritual brethren as those who do the will of the Father, those who believe in him. But here, these brethren didn't believe in him. Who's he talking about? He's talking about his stepbrothers. Mary and Joseph, after she had the humanity of Jesus, she and Joseph had relations and had other children. He had stepbrothers, and they didn't believe in him. Look at verse 6 of John 7. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. They didn't believe in him. Now we learn later that some of them did come to believe in him, but that's by the grace of God. So Mary did not remain a virgin. She and Joseph had other children. She did not. Mary is not a mediator between God and men. As I said, one mediator, and that's Christ. Mary is not a bestower of blessings. So I'm in repeating that. I'm just making this. And here's something else. Turn to John chapter 2. Here we have the incident where the Lord, performed his first public miracle in turning water into wine. And what you might notice in this is, now I'm sure that in his life, especially growing up as a young, as a child, as a young son, that he called Mary his mother. Again, mother of the sinless humanity of Christ. But throughout his public ministry, and as recorded in the Word of God, the Lord himself never spoke of Mary as his mother, never referred to her as such. And here he is, he's performing this in the marriage of Cana. Verse 1, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, inspired John to write down, she's the mother of Jesus. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they waited, when they wanted or lacked wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, was he showing disrespect here? No. Lack of love for his earthly mother? No. We're commanded to honor and love our fathers and our mothers. Children are told to respect and obey their parents. Christ kept the law perfectly. So he didn't deny or denigrate or disrespect or not love his mother. But when the Lord addresses her as woman, like over here in our text, woman, woman, behold thy, behold thy son, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. When he addresses her as a woman, he doesn't mean to denigrate or disrespect her in any way. He was not being unkind. He was not being mean and cruel or unloving towards her. Now here's what he was doing. He was making, even back then at the Feast of Canaan, and now, he was making a very vital and spiritual point concerning relationships and fellowship of brethren, true brethren, spiritual brethren in the household and family of God, of which foundation he was establishing right here on the cross. One writer said this, that in addressing her as woman instead of mother, he was leading Mary herself gently from the natural union that she shared with him because she was the mother of his human nature, sinless human nature, to the mystical spiritual union that all believers share with him. That's what he was doing. Listen, our family relationship, husband, wife, father, mother, children, sister, brother. Do you know that one day that relationship here on earth will end? But the relationship that I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ will go on forever and ever and ever. And let me show you another passage here. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. And I want you to listen to this. This is another passage of Scripture that's telling. He says, look at verse 46 of Matthew chapter 12. Listen to what's going on here. While he yet talked to the people. Now here he is preaching, teaching. While he yet talked to the people, behold his mother and his brethren. That's his mother and his stepbrothers. Stood without desiring to speak with him. And then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. In other words, it's like the fellow saying, now you've got to stop everything because your mom's here. Your stepbrothers are here. Look at verse 48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand, verse 49, toward his disciples, and said, behold my mother, behold my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Who is my family? Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In these words, Christ, and in the words that he spoke from the cross, behold thy mother, Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. In these words, the Lord shows that his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. His family is a spiritual family, not earthly. That his spiritual family and his spiritual relationships and the fellowship that he has with his spiritual family is greater and more important than earthly family and earthly relationships. Now, I want to tell you something. That's tough for us to get within our minds. You fathers and you mothers, you have children. And you're responsible for those children. You're really not responsible for everybody else's children. Now, that doesn't mean we're not to love our brethren and love our neighbor and help others. But you have a unique relationship and responsibility to your earthly children, you husbands to your wife, you wives to your husbands. And we don't need to lessen that or denigrate that. In fact, the Bible says that a man who will not care for his earthly children, take care of them, is worse than an infidel. So we have that. But that relationship in some point in time is going to end. And if you're a believer, you have a family, a spiritual family that is much greater than that earthly relationship. And at this time on the cross, Christ's earthly relationship to Mary as his human mother was about to end forever. But his spiritual relationship with his spiritual family, of his household, of which he is the head, which included Mary as a sinner saved by grace, would go on forever and forever and forever. Isn't that right? Now you think about this. This is important. And here's what we're learning here. The fellowship and the love of brethren. The cross brings us together. It's not our earthly heritage. It's not our human pedigree. That doesn't bring us together. It's not our mutual likes and dislikes. It's the cross that brings God's people together. We are all chosen of God. If we're brethren in Christ, believers, sinners saved by grace, we all collectively were chosen individually, but we are together. We are chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. Our names were written in the family album. The book, the Lamb's Book of Life. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, your name's in that album, that family album. Doesn't matter what if you're male, female, doesn't matter if you're black, white, or yellow. Doesn't matter where you're rich or poor. Your name was written there in that family album, the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb slain. And then you're justified. And we're all justified the same way. That's the ground of our familial tie. We are all equally washed in the blood of Christ. We are all equally righteous in God's sight based upon his righteousness imputed. You ever seen a family of children that wear the same clothes? And you might notice that they kind of look alike and all. Well, that's us in Christ. We wear the same clothes. We're dressed in the robe of his righteousness imputed to us, and we stand before God equally justified. We've all been redeemed. You know, the price of my redemption is the same as the price of your redemption. It's the blood of Christ on this cross. So it brings us together. And then we're born again. We have a birth. And it's the same birth. You know, physical birth can be different. Some women have the baby naturally. Some have it by C-section. can be different. But we're all born into the kingdom the same way by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, the true gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and the Greek. You see, that believer's Jewishness and this believer being a Gentile means nothing to the Jew first and the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's written, the justified shall live by faith. And that's another thing. We who are in this spiritual family are brought into this fellowship of the grace of God. We walk the same way, exactly. Now, some may walk faster than others. Some may be slower. Some may be a little bit farther behind. Some may be ahead. But it doesn't matter. We all live looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We all have the same ground of salvation, the imputed righteousness of Christ, the same way of salvation, the grace of God in Christ, the same goal in salvation, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, I quote quite often verses 8, 9, and 10. And it's speaking of the church collectively. It's speaking of the fellowship of the household and family of God in Christ. And here's what it says. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, does that apply to me, but not to you? No. That's all of us. By grace. There's not one of us who deserved salvation or earned salvation. And it's through faith, and that not of yourselves. You didn't come the free will way, and then I come the sovereign grace way. The free will way is a deadly way. None of us. If we have faith, we have it because God sovereignly gave it to us through Christ. It's not the Reformed way and the Arminian way or the Calvinistic way. It's all one way, through faith. And that not of yourselves. We were all by nature sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. We were no different than children of wrath by nature. We were born dead in trespasses and sins. We all fell in Adam into sin and death. We're all born dead spiritually. We're all redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we're all regenerated by the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, the word of life. It's the gift of God, he says. And it's not of works. It's not of your works. It's not of my works. You see, none of us. If God were to judge us based on our works, we'd be damned forever, lest any man should boast. And then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that applies to both Jew, believing Jew and believing Gentile. And he says that we're brought together. Look in Ephesians 2 and verse 13. He talked about the separation of Jews and Gentiles. But he says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, outside, are made nigh, brought in, near, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh, that's what he's doing, dying on that cross, his humanity, suffering, God in human flesh, in his flesh the enmity is abolished, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man, that's the church, collectively, so making peace, and verse 16, and that he might reconcile both Jew, God's elect among the Jews, God's elect among the Gentiles, unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see that? The book of 1 John is a primer, if you will, of true Christian fellowship. The spiritual family. Christ said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Them that do the will of my Father. What does that mean? Well, 1 John tells us. And he gives us what I call 3 points or 3 benchmarks of fellowship. The first one is this. Our fellowship is a fellowship of light. That means the truth of the gospel. He says in verse 6 of 1 John 1, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We believe the gospel, the good news of how God saves his chosen people by his grace through the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our fellowship, our family is founded upon truth. That's the light. We walk in the light. The light is Christ. Secondly, this is a fellowship of righteousness, which is the righteousness of God in Christ. 1 John 2:29, it says, if you know that he, Christ, is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. What is it to do righteousness? It's to look to Christ and to the perfection of righteousness that we find and have only in him. That's what it is. We are all made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin. Our sins were imputed, charged, accounted to him. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's our fellowship. We all have the same ground of salvation. The imputed righteousness of Christ. And then this third benchmark leads me to the second point. You know, Christ said from the cross there, when he spoke to his mother, and he said to her, he said, woman, behold thy son. This is your spiritual family. And then he said to the disciple that was with her, he said, behold thy mother. She's your spiritual family. And it says, and from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. Well, the third benchmark is it's a fellowship of love. Love. Love in Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God, children of God. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And this is the word of Christian love. When he spoke to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He tells John to take care of Mary. Take care of her. She's a widow who had no other support than her Christian family. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, our brothers and our sisters. James spoke of it in James 1:27. He said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless. That doesn't mean just go visit them, and the widows in this their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In other words, you know, back then in those days, those who were usually the destitute were either widows whose husbands had died and they had no other family, or children who were left destitute. And he said, you take care of them. Our love to one another in the household of faith is the fruit of Christ's love for us and should reflect his love for us. And what did he do for us? Well, he loved his own unto the end. He died for me. But he didn't just die for me. He arose again the third day. I'm justified in him. But he didn't just justify me. He sent his spirit to draw me unto himself. He gave me life. Spiritual life. I'm going to live forever because of him. That's right. takes care of me. There are times I sinfully think he's forsaken me. But he didn't. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He told his disciples in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now that doesn't mean that the world is going to look at you and admire you for your love. That means that the world's going to see, as the Pharisees said to the disciples over in Acts chapter 4, I think you've been with that guy Jesus. The world's going to hate you. The world won't know you. But to show the love of Christ to one another begins with loving his truth and standing together against the world. Standing with and helping one another. And it may be something as simple as giving a thirsty brother or sister a cold drink of water, clothing them, taking care of them. But it mainly has to do with standing together in the fellowship of the truth, the light, the fellowship of righteousness, the fellowship of love against the world. The world will hate us. It won't admire us. The world hates the light of truth when it exposes their false hopes. Let me close by reading a portion from 1 John 4 and verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. This kind of love, it's of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. You don't have this love before you're born again. And knoweth God, know him through Christ. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Who is my brother, my sister? You who believe in Christ. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We'll live forever. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice that brought satisfaction for our sins. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, seated at the right hand of the Father, living, ever living to make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? And who shall separate us from each other? Absolutely no one. Absolutely nothing. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.